Oleksandr Suszko jest no, w bardziej komfortowej sytuacji, bo nie jest dyplomatą, chociaż świetnie zna się na polityce zagranicznej. Mam do niego taką podwójną prośbę. Znaczy, z jednej strony, żeby zrekapitulował to, co zostało już tutaj powiedziane i z tych trzech obrazów starał się zbudować jakiś wspólny obraz, czy da się to jakoś połączyć. I oczywiście jako przedstawiciela społeczeństwa obywatelskiego Ukrainy prosiłbym także o zapoznanie nas ze stanowiskiem organizacji pozarządowych, ekspertów, jak oni zapatrują się na perspektywę zawarcia umowy stowarzyszeniowej przez Ukrainę, czy uznają tę perspektywę za realistyczną do końca tego roku i ewentualnie jakie sugerują, podjęcie jakich kroków sugerują, by stało się to realne. Oleksandr, zapraszam.
Thank you, moderator. Thank you for this opportunity to speak again in Batory Foundation, which is one of our most sustainable long-term partners in Poland. And here it's not the first time I'm speaking here on the issue of future EU-Ukraine association relations and the entire Eastern dilemmas of the EU policies. And here, definitely after three official point of views, it's a big, it's really a case when we can try to find what is in common between all these three positions and approaches, and what is the chance to achieve any progress in the foreseeable future, taking into account some visible differences, at the same time recognizing that all the parties acknowledge the same objectives. So, first of all, what is it? The debate was about the differences of today's moment and previous moments. And here, that was a position of Yevhen Bystritsky, who said that there is not so much difference, and there was a position of Ambassador who said that there is too much differences. And I just would like to say that both positions have some grounds. First of all, because if speaking about the domestic situation in Ukraine and its perception in the EU, it's a little bit different. Because for the EU, as we mentioned now, the case of Tymoshenko and the events after were the red line, which clearly distinguishes the Ukraine before and after that. Because never before Tymoshenko case we got any messages that association process may be derailed at all. Mm-hmm. There were some concern, warnings, etc. But that was clearly, especially after the visible disconnection between Ukrainian leaders and the EU leaders, especially after Yalta meetings in September, when Ukrainian leadership sent some messages which were accepted or perceived as a promise to do something, and then nothing had been done. It was perceived as a very negative development, and it destroyed certain sense of confidence between official Kyiv and the European capitals. For Ukrainian society, there was no such, I would say, dramatic change here in this point of time. We have observed and expressed some concerns during the entire, I would say, period of this government, but that also during the last previous government, we also made these concerns and we also criticized. And if you look at the entire negotiation period on this association agreement, we have to say that the obstacles were at every point. However, the basic difference today, and we should recognize it, that if the year ago the most problems were inside the text of agreement. Today, the biggest problem is outside the text of agreement, is something beyond, is something which is not only about the formula of the future relations. I believe that if today atmosphere of talks on the highest level would be productive and constructive, the parties have, with 99%, I agree that they would find a compromise on that, how to formulate the European some sort perspective. For sure, me as expert and our community have our opinion, we have an opinion and we expressed it in our statement, which was quoted. And we understand, if speaking about this, that it's not possible to expect from the EU to recognize the future membership now for Ukraine. It's not possible to expect probably even the reference to the EU treaty. But maybe it would be possible to find the compromise within the formulas which were already used in bilateral documents, such as recognition of Ukraine as a European country or the European identity of Ukraine, or something like this. So I think that that's possible to find. If that would be the only problem, I'm sure that we will have an association agreement initialed this year. But for sure, there are some other more substantive problems. And here, definitely, there is no one, no unified and uniformed opinion in the EU, definitely. And what I have learned from my yesterday's debates in Strasbourg in the European Parliament, that there is a very... There is no debates about what is going on in Ukraine. Everybody says that there is a negative development. But on the other hand, there is a huge discrepancy between the so what? So what is to be done towards Ukraine in these conditions? And we have absolutely different messages from different members of European Parliament, from different politicians, from the sense of the understanding the need of stronger involvement to the opposite approach that, again, we have to forget about you because at the moment it's not the case anymore for European policy. So this is a real picture which is determining the position of the European Union. And there is no consensus at the moment what should be done in these practical conditions. Answering the question about our major question of the panel, what will be next several months? For sure, there is a small, very small chance for initialing this agreement this year. If not, there are different scenarios, plan B, plan C, etc. It may lead to delay for several months, but it may also lead to delay of several years. And this is the biggest difference. So I think that it will not be a dramatic collapse if it will be delayed for several months. But we have a real growing threat that the entire process will be frozen for several years. And that will be the biggest and the worst possible scenario. And here, for sure, in Ukraine, we have quite, I would say, controversially ambiguous situation. We have to clearly to understand that what's going on in Ukraine and what is the purpose of the government. And for sure, Mr. Pomianovsky mentioned in his speech about this that's not clear what's the real purpose of Ukrainian government. And for sure, the government is not homogeneous, and I absolutely sure there are persons in the government who are fairly wishing Ukraine to be integrated in the EU. And also, that's also true that there are some persons who use it just as an instrument, who want to manipulate by this process to gain some benefits, etc. So there is no one answer. So there are different approaches and different values, I would say. So that is why Ukraine is not homogeneous in this term at all, and the government in particular. And here we should recognize that for President Yanukovych, the main midterm objective will be the re-election in 2015. And if there is a purpose, the question is about the means of doing this. Which way he can ensure his want to ensure his re-election in the conditions when the real ratings of him as a political leader is going down. Today it's just about 20%. And he knows about this. And which is a strategy, which is a way. Because I would say that in existing conditions in Ukraine, the price of non-re-election for Yanukovych is very high. It is not the price of non-re-election of Polish president or somebody else. I'm sure that Yanukovych clearly, unfortunately, he clearly understands what would be the price for him personally if he loses the power. Mm-hmm. And that is the biggest threat for Ukraine. Because he will fight for the power. And that's the biggest challenge for the nation. And here there is a risk, again, that strengthening regime, strengthening the authorities will be more valuable for him personally, for his entourage, than any kinds of integration or some other ambitious goals. It doesn't mean it is not important, but the fear, the assessment that strengthening of power is more important, maybe dominating, and this is the biggest risk. And in these terms, for sure, the answer in your question. Again, there is a room of opportunity to at least not to freeze the agreement now. That will be very, very... I often have this question, why you need this to be initialed if we will not ratify it, for example? Why? I can explain this. Because before the talks finalized and before initialing, we even cannot disclose the document. We even cannot quote the document. Therefore, we cannot sell the document to the society. We cannot explain with proper arguments why this document is valuable. Because, yes, this is 100,000 and something pages, and the most of these pages are not readable for ordinary people. But if we have the text complete, if we text the... it initialed, so there is no more obstacles to debate and to explain to the society the concrete measures, the concrete benefits, outcomes of the benefits for the society if this agreement will be implemented. Because without of this, all my arguments to Ukrainian society look very abstract. It's like there will be a way towards the European integration. So what? What exactly? And here is the main point why for Ukrainian civil society it's so important to have the deal finalized, and then we will start advocacy campaign in order to explain society what is under risk, what we can lose if all the process fails. Mm-hmm. Thank you.